But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the far corners of the earth. From its farthest corners I called you, and I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Do not be afraid, you worm Jacob, little Israel. Do not fear, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Let us pray together. Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise for these your words, how you encourage us not to fear and to turn to you because you are near and you are powerful and willing to help. May we throw ourselves open before you, hearts, minds, hands, and just say, God, teach us and lead us into the week, the months, the years ahead that you would have us to be your servants here on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Could almost hear a global sigh of relief this week as those teenage boys got out of that cave in Thailand. Everybody was rejoicing and happy for sure. I'm going to take it as answered prayer. Although I know for a fact that in a Buddhist nation like Thailand, that the Buddhists were also praying, and probably the Muslims were praying too, but I'm going to take it as answered prayer. Because it is nothing short of miraculous, for sure. And I hope somebody writes a book about it soon. Because it is just fascinating, for sure. We all love stories of rescue, and we love stories that have a happy ending, don't we? But as I look out upon you, I see a few of you that have been around the block a few times, as have I, and we know that it doesn't always work out this way, right? It could have been a disaster. And in fact, our lives are littered with disasters from time to time. One of the saddest ones that I know of comes from 1994. From a church in the northeastern corner of Alabama that was destroyed by an F4 tornado. The tornado hit and killed 20 people. So even Christian people are not immune sometimes to terrible things happening. This tornado hit on a Sunday morning when the church was full. This F4 tornado hit the Goshen United Methodist Church on Palm Sunday morning. You remember this story? And this tornado hit during the middle of a pageant being put on by the church children. The walls of the church blew out and the ceiling came down and crushed the people underneath, and 20 people were killed. How do we make sense of our lives when things like this happen? You know, we can talk about the Thai boys and how wonderful it is, and it is. I'm owning that 100%. But there are times when things don't go the way that we would want. When prayers, it would seem, are not answered. And how do we process this? I don't know about you, but the promises of God help me a lot. And I can think of no more beautiful one to share with you than Isaiah 41, verse 10, which is in the middle of this passage that we read, which says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What we've got here is just beauty untold. It seems like God is falling all over himself to try and give us everything that we need. We have a trinity of promises in this one short verse. Three promises. What are the three promises?
With you.
Say again.
I am with you.
I'm going to say no. And this is why. Because that is a statement of fact. God says, I am here. Remember, our promise word is will. Okay, when God says, I'm going to engage to do something on your behalf. So if you work with me, where are the three times in this passage when God says, I'm going to do something for you?
Strengthen you, help you, and uphold you.
Now, there's plenty of other wonderful things that are said here. Two, God identifies and states who He is. As Sandy said there, I am with you. That's just the fact upon which these promises are resting. And we'll talk about this for a moment. And one more where God identifies who He is. The am word. I am with you and I am your God. And then there are two encouraging words there for us, or commandments that you might say for us. What are they? Do not fear and do not be dismayed. But we're going to look at those three promises, okay? Help, strength, and support. I'm not going to go through them in order, but I'm going to switch up the order a little bit, because as I look at it, it looks like a complete package to me, that God, in His strength and in His love and what He's promising to do for us, does it all. If you're in the middle of a horrible situation, you need help to be pulled out. You need to be strengthened once you're pulled out of that mess. And then you need some sort of a hope or some direction to go on forward from that. And that is upholding you with the righteous right hand. So God pulls you out. He makes you strong again. And then He upholds you for the steps ahead. That's it. That's complete. That's your God. Let's look at these, okay? First of all, help. God says in verse 10, I will help you. I will help you. Have you ever needed help from God? You ever been in trouble? Probably have, and I bet there are some testimonies here of people who can say at times very specifically when God has helped them. Just those four words, I will help you. I hope that totally messes with your brain. I hope that totally befuddles you and shocks you. Why would God do this? Why would God pay attention to you or me, these little ants that we are crawling around on the face of the ground? That must be surely what we look like from heaven, right? As a matter of fact, in another portion in Isaiah, God says, you're like grasshoppers to me, scurrying around. Why would God help us? Because He says, I am your God. And that is so rich. That means He made you. He created you. That means He redeemed you. He gave His own Son for you. He has put you on a mission on this earth, some things to do for Him. We talked about that last week. This is your God. He has a role for you, and He will help you. You could say that you are His flag on this planet. You're waving His flag. In this land of lighthouses in which we live, you could say that you are a lighthouse for Him. You are shining out into the darkness of the world around us and saying, this is God's world. We live in it according to His will and according to His pleasure. And you can be that light for Him. He will help you to do that. And because He is asking you to do that, He has something else for you to do. And that is to put dismay away. God says there, do not be dismayed. I will help you. Whenever you're studying the promises of God, and as we study them together and get used to these promise words, as opposed to statements of fact, okay, I want you to be looking too for conditions that there might be, things that God is asking you to do. We looked at one a little while ago, a beautiful verse, well known. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. There's an if there. If my people will pray, I will engage. I promise I will do this. God is saying here, I will help you, so do not be dismayed. That word struck me as being a little bit unusual. Dismayed, what does that mean? We all know what dis means. That means no or not, right? There's another word in the verses here called disgrace. You will not be disgraced. So disgrace means a grace is taken away from you. You know about displeasure, right? Displeasure means no pleasure. You're not pleased that pleasure is taken away. Dismay means you're unmade. What is that? Went to the dictionary, and may is an old Germanic word which means to have power. You are stripped of power. You have bottomed out. You are emptied out. There's nothing left. Ever felt like that before? Dismayed? Ready to give up? All hope is gone? God says, don't do that. Please don't go down that path. That's a very complicated thing to do, but one thing I want to encourage you to do that might help a little bit is to commit some of these promises of God to memory. Christians do a lot of things. We study Scripture, we pray, we sing. Many Christians also will commit passages of Scripture to memory. And this is something that somebody put me onto years ago. And here's my memory card for Isaiah 41:10, a little bit yellowed by now. But I have held on to this verse for years. You may have verses that you want to hold on to as well. So write them down on a 3x5 card and just rehearse these and go over until it becomes a part of your heart and your soul. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God. It is a light unto our paths. If you're going to be that lighthouse for Him out in the world, you need to make sure that Word is a part of you. Not just let the preacher speak it every Sunday, or not just read about it in daily bread once a day, but make it a part of your life. Here's another one I have. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxieties upon Him, because He cares for you. It's 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. You may want to write that down. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. There's some other passages there on the back of your bulletin as well. God will help you. Let this Word get into you and become a part of your life. He says He'll help you, then you need to be made strong again. That's the second step, right? You pull somebody that's drowning out of Damariscotta Lake, they're going to be cold or shivering. You don't just say, okay, I helped you. Good luck with that. See you around later. You might throw a blanket around them, right? Or you might give them a cup of hot tea or something to warm them back up. People need to be helped. They need to be pulled out of that situation, and then they need to be made strong again as well. It certainly happened with the Thai boys, right? They didn't just pull them out of the cave and say, okay, see you later. Okay, we helped you get out. Get on with your life now. They were rushed off to the hospital with a covering over their eyes because after being in the cave for 17 days, the sunlight would have just blinded them, right? And they remain in the hospital even to this day, being strengthened and being healed. Some of them have pneumonia. They were even offered an all-expense-paid trip to go see the World Cup in Russia, which is today. Who's playing who?
Croatia
and? France. Yeah, there's a few football fans out there, okay? FIFA offered to fly them all out there with their coach, and the doctor said, no. They still need part two here. You've helped them. They're out of the cave. But now they need to be strengthened. I will strengthen you. One way in which you can find yourself to be strong is to enter into a conversation with God about this. Enter into a conversation with God about what it means to be strong. Whenever you talk with God, what is that called? Prayer, right? And we do that regularly in worship here. I hope you do it at home as well. We see this even in the model prayer that God gave to us, the Lord's Prayer. It talks a lot about strength there. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Period. I think we could end the prayer right there. That's powerful. That's worship. That tells us what God is about in the world. He is pulling His will down and pulling earth and heaven together to make it one rich realm in which He rules over as King of all. Boom, that's it. But it goes on. And He invites us to talk to Him about what we need. What do we need? Give us this day our daily bread. And we need forgiveness. Forgive us our
debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. He's asking us to enter into a conversation with Him about what it means to be strong. It can be daily bread. It can be avoiding temptation. It can be finding the courage to give forgiveness to those that we'd rather just ignore. Enter into a conversation with Him and ask God, what do I need to be strong? Don't you know that the doctors and the nurses around the Thai boys are asking each other, what do we need to get these boys back to health? And they ask them too, what do you want to eat? Been in that cave for a while now. It's funny, one of the things that they've been saying is KFC. That's what they want. It's hard for them to say Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's a whole long phrase of English, and overseas it's often just KFC. That luscious, crispy fried chicken. That will help them to be strong again. Then they're going to need to be supported and sent back out into the community, and God knows this as well. I've helped you. I pulled you out of that situation. I'm going to make you strong. And now I will support you on a day-to-day basis with my righteous right hand. God has helped you, made you strong, and He will support you for the road ahead. So you do that. Keep being that lighthouse out in the community and showing people what God is like. Showing people and telling them that this is His world, that He is yet in charge, that He is yet the ruler and Lord of all. And make sure that you always flag those false supports that we tend to run to so easily. Alcohol, some people do that. They think that that's going to support them and get them through it. Pleasure, that's going to take away the pain of their lives. Or one that I think that is very, very common and rarely flagged among us is just filling our lives with stuff. I think there are so many of us that think, if I just get more stuff and pack that into my house, that'll take away all the pain. And that is what I need for support. That's not it. God has something for us to do here, and that is to put fear away. He says there, this is the second thing He asks us to do, so do not fear. We're often afraid of life and what we face. And so we look for support in the wrong places. And God says, turn to Me, and I will help you make sense of it all. The pastor of the United Methodist Church in Alabama that was destroyed on Palm Sunday in 1994 lost her daughter in that tornado. Her daughter was in the pageant and was crushed. And Pastor Kelly Clem writes, that evening the world began to join us to make sense of it all. 100 little gifts reminded us that God is here, that it's God's story we're living, that as Jesus promised His disciples, He will not leave us as orphans in the storm. We talked about storms this morning. We're talking about the promises, and she saw those come together, the promises of Jesus in the storms that they faced. And how did that happen? As other people came alongside them, and that might be something that you can do too. To come alongside someone who's hurting and to be that physical presence. That's what made the difference in Alabama in the days and weeks following that tragedy. People that were coming alongside them. And I think that is the most amazing thing about our faith too. Is that we have a God who is not a Hallmark card reading writer. He's not coming up with slogans that are nice and flowery to encourage us. He's not giving us a pep talk. He's saying, you know, I'm going to come alongside you. And He has done that in the cross. I'm going to come and stand beside you. I'm going to feel that pain. I will know what it's all about. I'm not going to tell you, well, maybe you need to do this if you're suffering. Maybe you need to do this if your life is screwed up. He came into our lives and has dramatically changed things. From now on, things will never be the same for what He has done. And you can be involved in somebody's life too. Well, guess what? During that Palm Sunday pageant in Alabama, somebody was videotaping. Because you do that, right? When kids are putting on
When kids are putting on a pageant, you videotape it. You want to see what it's like. You want to have that memory preserved. But it turned out to be a very dark. You remember the evening TV show Hard Copy? It's kind of like TMZ or one of those things. Hard Copy offered Brenda Formby $50,000 for that videotape. They wanted that videotape. And she turned them down. She said, no, I don't want the public docking at that day. She said, how could we maintain our dignity if I just sold that videotape? So she didn't sell it. But the tape does exist, and survivors of that morning have been coming forward to her as they get ready and ask to see that videotape. And it's healing to them. One of the things that videotape shows is Diane Moloch, an aunt, kneeling over her 3-year-old nephew, Tyler Furman. Diane was one of the 20 who died. Tyler escaped with just a few scratches. But Brenda Formby says that as people come forward who survived it and want to see that videotape, they say the video has been a healing tool. People say it's like a piece of a puzzle that has helped them to heal. And I don't quite understand that, I have to say. But in a sense, I think we do something like that on a Sunday morning. When we gather here, we are rehearsing again and saying again, there is yet a God who will help you and strengthen you and uphold you. There is yet a God who is in charge of our world and our lives. When we have the Lord's Supper, we do that once a month. Some churches do it every Sunday. We are saying, here is a body broken for you. Here is blood spilled for you, and it takes care of all your sins. When we baptize, we lower people into the water. It symbolizes death. We pull them back up, symbolizing life. And that's why we worship on a Sunday, because we're saying, you know, during the week we may be lowered into death, but on a Sunday we're raised to life again because our Lord yet lives. This God who commands us not to be afraid, not to be dismayed, yet lives. And He's done it all. And I have nothing left. He is simply, He has helped you, He has made you strong, and He will support you for the journey ahead. That's our God of promises. He's promised it. There's nothing more. Sometimes when I look at Scripture or think about our faith, I think, is this all there is? Could it be tweaked a little bit more? Could there be a little bit more? This is complete. When I look at the Lord's Supper as we lay it out in front of us, it's complete. I hear little kids sometimes that say, that's not much of a meal, a little bit of bread and a little bit of juice, but that's all you need to do with the power of sin is break the power over people and then wash them clean for when the times when they do fall on their face. God has done it all. We have His promises. It's complete. It's finished. Amen.